for today. As the hands together and say this was our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that the Father knew written was. This is Him. Our eyes view Jesus as He sees us in Himself. He is glorified. We are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's what exousia, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. We said this will be Jesus' instruction within the 40 days, right? Right? And that instruction, Matthew will capture it as what? Make disciples. Luke will put it like this, preach the gospel. Look, this is for every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Skip Luke and let's jump to John. John 20. John 20, verses 22. He says, and he said to them, when he had said this, he broke from them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remitted unto them, and whosoever ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah. Let's go back to John. Let's go back to Luke. I skipped Luke for a reason. Because Luke made us see that the instructions were the instructions of the scriptures from verse 44. And he said, these are the words which I spoke to you. That all things must be fulfilled. We are listening to the law of Moses, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened his understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise to the dead from the third day. And our repentance, which is the remission of sin, the preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So we said, these will be instructions of the Old Testament books. What we call the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi. I know there are some people who tell you that the Old Testament is gone, but it's actually a lie. Amen. That's a lie. That we are in the New Testament. They actually don't know what they are saying. Hallelujah. Jesus read the Old Testament books. The apostles also did the same. There was never a time Jesus said the Old Testament books was gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said when Jesus said it is finished for Old Testament books. No. Amen. No. Old Testament books. In fact, they said, no, the epistles, they read the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. They read it. So at what point did we start getting that this kind of doctrine from? And we can trace it recently. Hallelujah. It's not too far. Hallelujah. Not too far. Where people began to say, Old Testament is gone. And that is a lie. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, the instructions will be instructions of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the disciples too, who were his apostles, would teach from the same Old Testament books, as I've said. In fact, when they were to write the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they were to write the synoptics, they didn't write it as a story. No, they were writing Jesus' story, right? They were writing Jesus' story, but they were not writing it as a mess story. They were writing it as tales by moonlight. Amen. They were not writing it like that. They were not writing toy story. No. They were writing Jesus' story as scriptures fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you'll find that in their opening statement. So they will open that synoptic with the Genesis. Look at Matthew 1:1. We'll call what is writing. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He takes your mind back again to the Genesis, calls it the generation. Amen. And that is the word Genesis in the Greek. Amen. He calls the Genesis of Jesus. So he's telling you that, unlike what they had in their world as the story of Jesus, the apostles or the writers of the synoptic wrote it as the scripture fulfilled. Look at Mark. Mark will tell you that, oh, as you get to read my synoptic, you have to read backwards. That is to say, you have to read it again from Genesis down to Malachi. In the beginning of the gospel, use the word beginning. Okay, a shade of the word Genesis. Amen. It is at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Did you see that? The Son of God. So you use the word beginning there, your mind goes again to the Genesis. And in the Genesis, you find him as the Son. Amen. Hope you're following me. It is as it is written in the prophet, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face. He goes to Malachi. And in verse 3, it goes again to Isaiah. That is, you read Malachi into Isaiah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. That's what he's doing. He's reading Malachi into Isaiah, telling you that that's how scripture should be read. You have to read each book into themselves. Hope you're following me. So when you get to Luke 24, what's that? So we get to Luke 24 from verses 45. Oh, verse 45, yes. It says, and he opened his eyes to understand that they might comprehend the scripture. Use the word synonymy. Showing you how Jesus actually read the scriptures. The same way too, he will tell you guys how he's writing. You read scriptures together. That's how to read the Bible. Amen. Scriptures into themselves. Amen. I love what my pastor said, the president of Pastor Shegon Onika. He said, one way you must read your Bible is, a good way to read your Bible is to read it like a conversation. Hallelujah. Each book you read into themselves. You read each book into themselves. Hallelujah. What are you following me? So that is a good way to read your Bible. Hope you're following me. This is a good way to read your Bible. Hallelujah. Look at John 1. John 1 was very clear. He said in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He tells you again, he goes, takes you back again to the Genesis and tells you, in the Genesis, you have the Word as God. Amen. Amen. Takes you back again to the Genesis. Now in the Genesis, what you have is God as the Word. And the Word became a man. So telling you that the incarnation is God as man. Amen. God became a man. And that is scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's make man in our image. And the man will be his son. And he came as a man in his image. As the son, the seed. Hope you're following that. Very vital for you to see. So last week, or the week before last, we began asking ourselves the question, who is the believer? And something you must note is the angle I'm taking this teaching from. Hallelujah. But smart to know the angle I'm taking this teaching from. I'm taking it as a, I'd like to put like a breakout from the mandate message and the mandate. Hallelujah. And it's for you. Glory to God. Amen. So, we then ask ourselves the question, who is the believer? And we said, lack of knowing who the believer is, or knowing who you are, is what creates identity crisis. Identity crisis. Who are you? Most times, the question, who are you, is usually not what you just say with your mouth alone. It's good to say with your mouth, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Because your mind is as intelligent to the degree of what you feed it with. Over here again. Your mind, I take that again. Your mind is intelligent to the degree of what you feed it with. So it's good to say, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm a saint. Some people don't believe they are saints. They say, no, saints are those who are in heaven. No, you're a saint. Hallelujah. Saint means sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He said, you are sanctified. You are washed. Hallelujah. So they're not more holy. No. Amen. Holiness is not first a character. Okay, hear me. Holiness is first a nature. I'm holy. See, I'm holy. Say I'm holy. Say I'm washed.
washed. Say, I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. Hallelujah. Only believer doesn't have a guilt conscience.
Holiness is first a nature. It's our nature in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, good. It's good to stay who you are. It's very vital. Say who you are. But beyond saying it, it's living. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, you hear me? You live it. Let it be part of your conduct. But it can't be part of your conduct when you have not come to the realization of this is who you are. Amen. You don't know who are you? Or who am I? What is my nature like?
I'm born again. I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost. I don't have him in a bucket. I don't have him like a measure. I don't have him like a derica. I don't have him like a sack. No, I have the Holy Ghost in full.
Hallelujah. I remember one time that I had to teach us the complete Spirit of God, right? Amen. We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. We are in Him.
He is in us. We saw all that last week, right? So I want to take it from where we stopped last week. Hallelujah. So as a lack of knowing who the believer is what creates identity crisis. It creates identity crisis. When you see a believer begin to misbehave, act like someone in the world, talk like an unbeliever, watching, is a result of an identity crisis. Very vital. He doesn't need to say, I have identity crisis. Most times he doesn't even need to know. But that is an identity crisis. Hallelujah.
We saw the children of Israel last week.
We saw that they were in a battle and they saw Goliath. What were they doing? They were running away. It took another man to tell them, Israel, not just this army, Israel as a whole, is God's army. Did you see that?
Now if you tell them they have identity crisis, they will tell you, for where? I'm a soldier, right? I'm an army. But no. Their attitude showed they had a deficiency in their identity,
in knowing who they are. Hallelujah. So we say a major point out to what we're teaching is Matthew chapter 16 quickly. Matthew 16. The response of Jesus to Peter is very vital here. Matthew 16 verse 16. And Jesus said to them, for whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus ask them that question, who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. That's Peter now. Say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You see that? Say, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, not resist to thee, for my Father which is in heaven. 18, I said to you, thou art Peter. You see that? Why did he call him? You know, Peter knows his name. Yeah, Peter knows his name now. He doesn't even know my name is Simon.
But Jesus told him, you are Peter. Hallelujah. You are Peter.
Why did he say that to him? He said that to him because, and that becomes very vital in our faith. Glory to God. Amen. And I told us that in the revelation of Christ, you have the revelation of the believer.
In the revelation of Christ.
Why? Because we are in Him. Are you following me? We are in Him. So knowing Christ is knowing yourself.
How many of you? Knowing Christ is knowing yourself. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So the first discovery, see, who you are is not your job. Hope you hear me. Who you are is not your career. Who you are is not where you are born into physically. No. Who you are is not how wealthy your parents are or where you stay. No, that is not who you are. That doesn't define you. Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. That doesn't define you.
Remember one time like that, they did this Bible stuff within Protestant church. Within Protestant church. And they were to share Bible. The name is Project Philip. I don't remember Project Philip. You know, some of you are not born. Young man, do you know Project Philip? Seventh-day Adventists. Do you know what they finish? And? No. For their finish.
That was around year 2001, 2002. Project Philip. Okay, so it was white men that came. So it was a cult.
I didn't know that. I'm going to be a pastor. And that is the other. So I was one of the youngest people that was in that class.
So we used to read the Bible.
And that actually helped me. That was the first time I finished the Bible. Oh, the first time. I read the Bible.
So we're having that. It's not the people. I mean, they gave us the manual. So we're reading from Genesis to Revelation. Answering the question. So on the final lap of Project Philly, I guess it was for 6 months. The white men now came. I saw the way people were rushing to go and greet white men. I was like, what is happening here? People were white men who aren't even born again.
Oh, sorry, they were born again. Sorry.
Who aren't even pastors?
They were missionaries though.
Amen. So they sent in the book and they came at the end. They didn't even lecture us at all. They just came to administer the Bible to us. And Brownback is actually NLT. NLT Bible is Project Philly. So we were just taking a picture of white man. Taking a picture of white man. I didn't take. I was angry.
Why was I angry? Because I was angry. That was a woman take. I didn't go. So like, why? I can't even be feeling like this. I didn't sleep.
And that was the period they were teaching us about Australopithecus Africanus. That Africa is
So this is what these guys are playing now.
I said, no, I'm not inferior. I got the life of God in me.
That's what I kept saying.
I got the life of God in me. Greater is he that is in me. It's not by my color.
But actually,
shame by taking that picture, I feel like this.
Yeah. People framed it.
I remember one house I went to, yeah.
I remember number one family.
They're friendly. White man.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Alright. The last time I had an opportunity to snap with a white man, I told myself, that is actually an identity crisis. Let me snap with this guy that looks like me. Yeah. Amen. That was played again. I was like, no, that was actually, that one was identity crisis. There's nothing there. Amen. But actually, most times, what defines you
is not those things. Those things are very minute and very secondary. Look at Genesis 1.
I'm going a bit off my book, but I need to show off this.
Genesis 1. Look at what defines a man. Genesis 1:1. Let's get it. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. Now I'm home in church, right? Right? I can flow, right? Can I flow, God? I can flow, right? Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you see that? Watch this. Heaven there is supernatural. Earth there is supernatural. I've taught you that. Now, look at verse 2. Say the earth is without form and void, and darkness also formed the surface of things. And the Spirit of God moves over the surface of the water, and God said what? Let there be light. Stop! Everything between Genesis 1:1 and 1:3 is not creation of matter. No. Genesis 1:1 to 1:3 is the heart of man. Is the definition of man. Okay, is the heart of man the definition of man?
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you see that Genesis 1:1-3 is man's heart.
Now, very vital look up. Now, it shows you that the identity of a man is first supernatural.
Okay, it was supernatural.
I trust, and if I take you guys to Canada, for example, on a visit to come back, not just that, to come back, you will not go there and fold my hand. You know what I mean? I fold my hand. You will not try that, right? Right?
So you are keeping quiet. You don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. said, no, this is money. Money talks.
No, money doesn't talk.
Amen. What do you have me?
Glory to God.
So what defines a man is supernatural. Is that he's in the light or he's in darkness? How about you hear me? That's what defines a man first. Not your money. Not your career. Not your bank salary. Some people, it's because of what they earn. They feel they're inferior. No! Hallelujah. I don't say this. I have the higher life in Christ. You remember that? Yeah, I have the higher life in Christ. Some of you don't have higher life devotional. Oh, the higher life publication. I have the higher life in Christ.
Glory to God. That one is the answer. Glory to God. Then you have the higher life in Christ.
That is the higher kind of life. The highest kind of life is the life in Christ. That is life. Amen. Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the life in Christ. So who are you? Who is your, what is your identity? I have the highest life in Christ. I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost. That is what defines you first. Not your money. So Jesus will say, Jesus, in the revelation of Christ, he will say, thou, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona. He says, I say unto you, thou art Peter. Is that? So you find the revelation of the believer in the revelation of Christ. What am I told you? I told us last week, it's a family tree.
Amen. Amen.
So the word defines you is the amount of money you have in your bank account. No? I didn't remember yet, but I said, even though you don't have money in your pocket doesn't mean you're broke. Bro, you're broke today.
Glory to God. You might have money in your pocket.
Well, he said, I'm still to be broke. Ah, glory to God. You like this kind of preaching then.
Say, I'm still to be broke. And that guy will just stand up, yes sir! And I'll be showing us his shoes. Amen!
Glory to God!
Money doesn't define you. Hope you hear me. Money doesn't define you. Your bank account doesn't define you. What defines you is, are you in Christ?
Jesus was saying in John chapter 15, said, abide in me and I in you. Did you see that?
So that means the only way you can know a believer is in Christ. Hope you hear me.
The only way you can know a believer in Christ. That is why no matter how, you see, Paul also deal with a church in Corinth that was already walking in the flesh. What did he start with? He said you are sanctified. He said you are spiritual. Why? You have to first of all define. He's going to deal with them all, but you have to first of all define them first in Christ. How do you believe in Christ? Amen? Some of them say, look at your big eyes. What is wrong with you? No, he's first in Christ. If you understand that one is in Christ, so you go address his identity.
Amen. How many follow you? Look at how I shot my tongue.
No, you don't say that.
Amen. Amen. So that is why you cannot just win a soul. You go identify. Next person see he's in Christ and he has a responsibility in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Paul was to deal with a church of Galatians that began to follow the traditions of men, the Jewish tradition.
He said, haven't begun in the spirit. He told them, haven't begun in the spirit. He said, they've received the Holy Ghost when they got saved. Did you know? Hallelujah. We have to, first of all, identify them first rightly. But learn to see the believer first in Christ. Not by his dress. Who are you already?
Not by the kind of shoe he's wearing. Say, no. Let me identify myself with one that is wearing Gucci. Gucci. Not the one that is wearing a Gucci.
No, it's Gucci. Not a Gucci.
No. Amen. Glory to God. Are you following me? Amen. So the believer is first known in Christ. Never forget that. Known in Christ. So if the believer is known in Christ, look at this now. And Christ, and the revelation of Christ is, And Christ is,
well, put it this way.
I want to put it like this. Since the revelation of the believer, or the revelation of Christ, the revelation of the believer, right? And theology will lead you to Christology, right? Right? The study of theology will point you to Christology, and theology will be found
in the study of scriptures, right? The study of scriptures is called theology.
Therefore, if you do not have a firm theology, a firm solid theology, theology means study of God. If you don't have a good or a firm study of God, you definitely will have identity crisis. Very bad.
Have identity crisis. He's not far from me. That means if you don't have a good study. Now, that is where the study of scriptures is very important. Amen. Imagine you read the Bible and say, I will not put the disease that came upon Egyptians. I will not put the disease that I put upon the Egyptians upon you, from the Lord that he left you. You know, you'll be thinking, God used to put disease on people. Right? Because your reading of scripture is wrong. Therefore, your theology is wrong. Your identity, you will have an identity crisis. Amen. You don't fall sick. You say, maybe God is willing to do it. What's happening here? Amen. So you have a wrong theology, you will have a wrong identity. Very vital. Therefore, a believer cannot be known outside proper study of the word. Outside the revelation of Christ. You can't know the believer. You can't.
You can't. So, you say the family, treat. We said last week that knowing God's tax in the earth is vital in knowing who the believer is. Did you say that? Last week, you say it's very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this will help your worship and your walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at a couple of things. Genesis 1:26. Let's see what God's tax in the earth is. Genesis 1:28. Because of time. We have a lot to look at. We're going to shorten it. Genesis 1:28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Did you see that? That's a responsibility. That's God's tax in the earth. Replenish. Now, I've always taught you this. So, 10th Pavilion Church, you know what verse 28 is, right? Right? Well, yes, replenish the earth. You know what it is, right? You're not thinking into the giving birth to children. Children, the giving birth to football team. Like this thing said he wanted to do. If you laugh, you go to a fire. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It's not it. It's actually... And that is actually... Imagine that for theology. That God says you replenish the earth, and thinking he's giving birth to children. You know, some people have that kind of mindset. And an identity card. Hallelujah. So, you know what he said then? He says multiply and replenish. Right? Right? The earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, which is different kind of men, right? Right? I want to be a bit fast. So, that is God's plan. We say that is God's plan. The whole earth. And now the Genesis 1:1. Go over it. Heaven in the earth. The temple facts. Right? Light in darkness. We see all this. Hallelujah. Light in darkness. Temple facts. So what else does that show you? Genesis 1:28. Would that be sonship? Right? Replenish the earth. Sonship. Sonship is responsibility. Right? Not a title, but a responsibility. Did you say that? Okay. I told you. Now look at what he said there. He used the word subdue. And I told you we're going to close in on that word today. Right? Subdue. That's the word kabash. 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 Kabash is used for a victory. A victory. A win in a conquest. A win in a war. Kabash. K-A-B-B-A-S-H. Kabash. A win in a warfare. Look at you. Find it in Numbers. I wanted us to read this all together. But let me read it out for us so that we'll read it. We'll find them studies. Numbers 32, verse 22 and 29. Numbers 32, 22 and 29. Joshua 18, verse 1. Is useful warfare to how you take over territories. You see that? Joshua 18, 1. 2 Samuel 8, verse 16. Oh, yeah. 8, verse 11, sorry. 1 Chronicles 22:18, 2 Chronicles 28:10, 1 Chronicles 22:18, 2 Chronicles 28:10. That is the word to put under. To put under. This is that subdue, kabash, to put under. It's victory. In Nehemiah 5:5 is used for how you hold one in bondage. Do you see that? To hold something in bondage. To have control. Bondage is quite deep in our world today, but it's used to have control over something. Hallelujah. That's Nehemiah 5:5. We have Esther 7:8. Look at Jeremiah 34:11. You have it there. Jeremiah 34:16. We have it also in Micah 7:19 and Zechariah 9:15. Hope you got all these scriptures. You got it? Okay. So, when it says here, subdue, it tells you the role of God's man. Let them have dominion. Did you see that? Let them have dominion. Subdue. You find this word. Those are territory language. Those are kingdom languages. Hold on, hearing me. Those are kingdom languages. Territorial in nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it tells you the role of God's man, the role of God's son. That is responsibility. Hallelujah. Does that show you the role of an army? Yes. Amen. That means when you use the word son, son is responsibility, is a soldier. Hallelujah. It tells you the role of sonship is that of a military one. Sonship, soldiers. Hope you're following me. Soldiers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. If we read 1 Samuel we read last week, something we're going to see in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 25 quickly. Verse 26 says, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what will be done to the man that killed this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? Now the reproach from Israel is not the armies there, but Israel as a nation, right? He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He's speaking to Israel as the armies of the living God. Israel as a nation. Did we say that last week? Right? Armies of the living God. Now, when he uses the word Israel, David knew that the use of Israel was not referring to Israel as a nation. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or first of all, let's put it like this. I take back that for now. So David knew that the role of Israel in the nations of the world is that of Savior. First of all, he knew that the role of Israel as a nation is that of service. He knows that. Hallelujah. He knew the role of Israel in the nations. Look at Exodus chapter 3 verse 12. Exodus 3 verse 12. Look what it says. It says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought the people of Egypt I brought the people out of Egypt. They shall serve God upon this mountain. Did you see that? Upon this mountain. So serve. Serve. You have the word serve again there. Hallelujah. That of service. And service is to carry out God's plan in the earth. Something we're going to explore in the years to come is on this mountain, but not today. Hallelujah. You serve God on this mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. So that will be to carry out God's plan in the earth. In Exodus 4, let's see that. Exodus 4 verse 22, he says, and thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son and my firstborn. This is that Bekorah responsibility. I thought it is, right? Son, firstborn, Bekorah responsibility. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. I say, let my son go that he may serve me. Did you see that? Serve me. So Israel has a role of service. Are you following me? Israel has got a role of service. Son. If we go to Genesis 15, you find it there also, when Moses had that, Abraham had that vision, God showed him the role of Israel in the nation of the world to serve. So Israel has got a role in the nations. Hallelujah. But we're getting something. Hallelujah. So Israel, we're going to go get to see something. So Moses also, knowing that Israel's role is that of service, and the mandate is in the whole world. See, I'm going back again. It's in the whole world. He knew, because he was the one that wrote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and wrote Genesis 1, verse 28. He knew that God stacked it in the nations of the earth. What people really? Moses knew. So because he knows that the tax of God is in the nations of the earth, in Numbers, when he was to choose the elders, he chose 70. Why did he choose 70? Most of the people don't pay attention to that. Numbers are very important in theology. Amen. No, I mean numbers, not seven grades. No, that's not what I mean. It's newness, nine, completion, ten, no. The month of June, number seven, the month of perfection. No, not saying that. I don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. So, eight, continuity. Nine, you shall agree, there will be no number in your life. Number means no. How does that inside in the eat? Is this a shock to you? Because the umba, umba means, but if in Igbo it means no. The umba mode. The no is a mumbo. No! Come on, what is that? How is Gregorian calendar mixed with Igbo?
It's not so painful. And they are my people.
Igbo my people. Just like Paul would say concerning this. My people.
So when I was in school, I tell one thought like that.
The man told me, my brother usually will set me up. My brother, okay, I will not mention the name of the church. My brother usually will set me up.
He would tell me, you should follow him to this church. I have spoken to the man of God about me. That,
God, can you come here? I thought I didn't tell him. This is he doesn't have words. Come on, let me teach you what. So, he said, no, come on, hear this word. Come on, hear this one. And I followed him.
The man saw me. Okay, well, I went on Saturday, I slept over till Sunday. So we did some Bible study on Saturday. When the man just did his head, I said,
Frank, your brother is
one
that we are passing the torch to. This guy knows the word. My head was talking like this. This word. He calls me back.
You have the Holy Ghost, the God of the
Spirit. And I was cooking concussion. You don't even know the concussion. And what I have to get, more than I know what I usually would give, and it's wrong. I can't try it today, it's wrong. Even if I meet another elderly minister today, I won't try those things. But I just know what to give them. I gave it to them in school one time at the Catholic school. Just to show them
dimension. That is that one where they will drop their heart.
Dimension.
Then, when I want to make you drop it, I say, is that too much? Oh, yeah, I'm not going to have this.
This guy, so you know what? I guess he wanted to impress me. Now he came to church.
And that was in September. I just saw that he was not comfortable. For sitting down. And I was writing it. I wanted to write it where I didn't write them. Because from some doctor, another entry, serpentine. What is all this? You get them impressed me. Please be comfortable. You know that when he saw that I wasn't moving,
you know what I mean? Bambo.
I said, what? Everybody stood up. Come and just drop one in the front. I said, what is this? When I was on my phone, I said, she has one. I said,
yeah. Yeah, but I can't try that now. This is way back 2008. I won't try it now. I was the last card.
I had it with zero. This one. I will not say then I didn't want to call zero. I just I bought a big one and that's the where I'm doing revelation knowledge. Yeah, that's it. I never plan to travel out for anywhere. I see a visa. You know that you think I'm a young guy that likes to travel. My brother just knew that. Oh, bro, my brother ever tell you, we are traveling now. We are zero over zero. Me, traveler. So go and do what? When small in a fell, I'm having cold. When I go to Canada and go.
I shouldn't say something.
That one is that we will wear 10 blankets and be walking.
Amen. Alright, where how did I even get here? Oh, you don't just do anything. Where how did I get here?
Is it you? Huh? Yeah, numbers are very important. So Moses knew they had 17 nations, non-nations of the world. They were 70. 70 non-nations of the world. So what did Moses do? Moses chose 70 elders to show that what? The task is in all the earth. Do you see that? Never miss that. Not today, we say 70 means all the earth. It's not today. Africa alone is 65.
Hope you're following me. Amen. But in their world, Moses knew that 70 means the whole earth.
So he took 70 and it was to show that God's heart is in the whole earth. Moses was doing that as symbols
to point to the real thing. What's the real thing? God's heart is in all the earth.
Okay, so heaven and the earth.
You shouldn't miss that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he chose 70 is to also show you the role of Israel in the nations of the earth. And what is that responsibility? Replenish, right? Subdue. Is that army?
Army. Is it that? Army. Subdue. Army. That means Israel is God's army.
Is it that? Israel is God's army. Sir, Israel is God's army. What about Nigeria? Totally Nigeria. Amen. Amen. So when Moses said Israel,
when he called Israel, the armies of the living God, he knew what he was saying. He wasn't referring to Israel in Middle East. He wasn't referring to Israel as a nation, as a physical nation, as a country.
Amen. Amen. It's not Israel in the Middle East. No. He wasn't referring to Israel in the Middle East at all. Israel, as a nation, that Israel, that country, Israel, was actually a sign. Now I've taught you sign. Was a sign, was a symbol for the real Israel. Let's see how the name Israel came about
so that you know what Israel really means. You want to join it? Genesis 32.
You don't see this now. Yeah, now no spirit of darkness. So you will know where I stand. Somebody said, I want to go to Israel for all this pilgrimage.
of you who are close to me know that I have never said that. I have even in my dreams, I have never.
Every one time like that, my friend was shouting me up. I was telling you that, let me see if I'm a leader, that you can use that as a leader. I was telling you that, Israel adoration is a scam. See, it's a deep scam. But many people don't know. And what that shocked me was when one, the second part of it, and I knew, that child is dead. The one who did, then you get started. Ah! You see, this man, I thought he's crossed the wall. Oh! But so, but when they started announcing it, that he's going to be there, he was shocked.
Amen. Amen. By the beloved people from the beloved nation. Hallelujah. Let me show you this. Genesis 32, are you there? Verses 27. Hope you are ready to flow. It says, now, this is, let me give you a background. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. Right? He was wrestling with the Lord, and in verse 27, and he said, I will not let you go except unless you bless me. 27. And the Lord said to him, what is thy name? So I said, can a man wrestle with God? Oh, Jacob did. Hallelujah. He says, and he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Watch that. Jacob. He didn't understand. Because in their world, first of all, in their world, not today, in their world, I know I'm telling you not today, in their world, name is used to show purpose. What about your name? To show purpose. Look at Jesus. He says that he called in his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save. Did you see that? Amen. He shall save his people. So names are used to show purpose. To show purpose, to speak of authority. Tax.
Hallelujah. So when God asked him, what is your name? He's actually asking him, what is your purpose? He was a prophet, but he said, Jacob. And God said, no. No. Hallelujah. Not today, you're going to change your name because your name is Tembelekunwan. You're not going to change your name. No. He said, ha, I remember one time like that. We were somewhere, me and my friends. I don't know why I'm giving you guys story, Jesus today. My friends, we attended the meeting. So around 2004, 2005. Okay, so around that period, a year to when Ghani came. So a man of God was invited. Don't worry, it will not look for you yet. This was a palace. A man of God. I'm telling you because he has the capacity to divide something. No. A man of God came and said, your man, change your name. One of my friends, his name is, I'll call it. His name is Amadikwa. If you laugh, you go to the party. So he just came to meet me. Because, you know, we were still in secondary school. I was in secondary school. So I already preaching. He just came to meet me and said, can't you change that car? His name Amadikwa has a root word in Amadioha. That's it. Then they want to change your name. Go and think about it and come the next day. He now came. He now said he wanted to change it. Then I said, why? See, because Amadikwa has to do with Amadioha. Not that I should also change my name from Ozon Madua. I said, no. I don't know the word. I said, why would I change my name? Do you know how many generations are after that? I do not care my changes. I said, at that point, I don't have the right to change. See, if my father wants to change it, he should go outside. His name. Abi? He said, no. You know what I mean? There's a generational cost in this. I'm in Christ renewed. That's what I told you. And the best of being Christ is a new creation. That is why you need to know the word of God. It's a new creation. All things are passed away. You want to have a, for the New Testament, God changed the name of Paul. I mean Saul to Paul. I said, where? They showed where God changed it.
He said, no, the reason why his name is now Paul is because the son of the Old Testament disobeyed God. So God answered, I said, where? When you don't know scripture, you don't know anything. Amen? You don't know anything.
Amen? Paul is Hebrew.
Paul is Hebrew. Why Paul is not?
So he's just like, okay, let's not go into that. Amen. Then I don't want to say, let's go back to Yahushua HaMashiach. Well, it's not Yahushua HaMashiach, Yahu Yahu. Go back to nonsense. Let me go back to Yahu Yahu. Amen. So you see, I do not only have people, I also have myself. Like they say, Papa, you have me. But you will not know. Amen. So look at what he said. He says, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name. Now this is purpose. Thy name shall be no more be called Jacob. But what?
Israel. Israel is his name. His purpose. Hallelujah. Stop there. Go back to 28.
You need to see something now. 28. Are you there? Verse 16 to 19. And Jacob walked, awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other than the house of God, Oikia, family of God. Did you see that? So he knows that purpose. God is building his family in the earth. Did you see that? Amen. Hope you are seeing that. And this is the gate of heaven. And I said, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took stone, look at verse 19, and he called the name of the place Bethel. Is that Bethel means family of God, house of God. Did you see that?
So he knows that God is building his house in the earth. He knows. Okay, follow you. He knows God is building his house in the earth.
He knows. So when God now told him, Israel, that shows purpose. You see that? It shows purpose. Come on here. And the meaning of the word Israel, he's talking to a man, and he calls him Israel. Israel is the word in the Hebrew people of God.
We have people of God. Israel, people of God. You see that?
Hallelujah. One person he calls him people of God. So it's just like what God said to Abraham.
Then your name shall no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham, father of many nations, and yet he had no child. Isn't that? What is God speaking into him? His purpose in the earth. Hope you are following me. So it's not a nation, no.
It's not a, when I mean a nation, it's not a country, a physical country, no. It's God starts in the earth. Hope you are following me. Right? So that God starts in the earth, will it be, that Israel, will it be God's Bethel? Will it be Bethel?
Will it be God's Oikia, God's house?
Yes. So Israel is not actually a group of people in Middle East. Israel is God's Bethel in the earth.
Come on, follow me. Can we call it the church? Come on. Is it the church? Is it the church? Practically, yes. It's God's church.
It's God's temple in the earth. So Israel is not a place in the Middle East. Israel is you and I in Christ. Is the man in Christ. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Is the man in Christ. So when David called Israel the armies of the living God, Moses, David was speaking in the office of a prophet, and he's saying, God's Bethel, God's children, right? The church of Christ is God's armies in the earth. That's what he's saying. This is God's armies in the earth. Glory to God. So Paul will bring this way in Ephesians. We'll see that next week. I will close on this issue. Paul will bring it up. And Paul will say, the families of God in the heaven, in the earth, and under the earth.
So the family of God in the heaven and in the earth. So, hallelujah.
Very practical. So God has this family in the earth.
In the earth.
God has his family in the earth. And that is God's Israel. It's called Zion. He's in the earth.
God's that? Is it yet?
God's heaven.
Is it yet?
God's people. Hallelujah. So where it says the armies of the living God was referring not to Middle East, was referring to God's children in the earth. Who are following me? Hallelujah. So therefore, who then was Jacob?
We're going to see on this next week. Who then is Jacob? Jacob is a prophet. So God's army is a prophet.
Who are priests? Who are priests? And so when, listen, the country Israel was a shadow of who? The real Israel, right? Right? I'm going to show you all that next week. We're still going to read further. The country Israel is a shadow of, Paul said it. Amen. Right? Paul said it. So the country Israel is a shadow of the real Israel, right? Right? So the real Israel will come out of Egypt. The Egypt will be Egypt in Africa, Northern Africa, or Egypt as darkness. Thank you. Okay, following that. That will be very important. Hallelujah. There will be God's called people. Now let's see something here. So, when Moses in Exodus 19:6 then calls them, he said, I mean, look at what God said to Moses, and ye shall be unto me. Okay, God unto the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. He said, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We're talking about that physical country or the Israel. Is that the physical country or his Israel? It's Israel. Hallelujah. God's Israel will be to him a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So when he went ahead to divide priesthood for them, it was just a shadow of those things. Amen. There is still real priesthood. So when, and whenever you read the word priesthood, at the background is armies. It's armies. So when you get to the scriptures in 1 Peter 2:9, when Peter says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He says, we are a chosen generation. Woo! Come for to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. I know who I am. That's a good song. But what is in your mind is money. Song for some people. But the one of the songs, I know who I am. But take note of what he said. Hallelujah. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That is the same thing for what? Kingdom of priests. So at the background of it is what? Armies. At the background. Never miss that. Now what did he say? That he will show forth. Look at that. Show forth the praises. Watch that word, praises. That word praises in the Greek is the word aretei. A-R-E-T-E-Y. Pronounced A-R-E-T-A-Y. Hallelujah. Amen. Arete. Now, when you use that word praises, what Peter has done successfully is to show you the responsibility of priesthood. You see that? Amen. The responsibility of priesthood, which will be that of a soldier. No, that word arete is used for virtue. The excellency. The victories. Hallelujah. Amen. So it shows responsibility. That means being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, I know who I am. I know who God says I am. That of who God says you are is to what is responsibility. They have thrown that away. Amen. Many that people just rejoice on just who they are. It is very important to rejoice. Also important is to see the responsibility in your identity. You can't take away responsibility from your identity. Okay, Jeremy. Okay, Jeremy. Responsibility. In Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 also. John used that word to Revelation 1:6. Revelation 1:6. Let's go to Revelation 1:6. He has made us. Do you see that? This is who we are. He has made us kings. The right word there is kingdom of priests. He has made us kings and priests and unto God. Do you see that? And Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He says, kings and priests unto God. So we are God's priests. Armies. Did you see that? We are God's armies in the earth. Say, I'm God's army in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So at the background is Kabash. At the background of priesthood, kingship is the word Kabash. And that will be the responsibility of the believer in the earth today. We begin to close. So Jesus, knowing that the task is that of warfare, is the task, that task is that of warfare. The task of reaching the whole earth is that of warfare. Jesus says, is that of warfare. And in Luke 10, look at when he sent his disciples and they came back. Look at what he says to them. That wasn't the lost on the believers today. Look 10, verses 19. Look at what he said there. He says, behold, I give thee power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Do you see that? And over all the power of the enemy. Do you see that? Hallelujah. And nothing shall by enemy hurt you. Do you see that? Hallelujah. He knows his warfare. Hallelujah. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. When he used the word, he used the warlike terminology, he used the word tread. To tread. To tread. Patio. Patio. To tread. How you claim. How you move about claiming. To tread. So you move about claiming. Hallelujah. So the believer is in an advancement. Hallelujah. The church of Christ is advancing. Glory to God. The church of Christ is God's army in the earth. So we have a path of advancing with God, with the gospel. Advancing. He said we will tread upon snakes and scorpions. Hallelujah. And what are the works of the enemy? So that means in the preaching of the gospel, we will see the works of the enemy are supposed to deal with. Hallelujah. We're going to see all this as we progress in the year. Not in this teaching though. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So in preaching the gospel, it gives us power. Showing that the believer is well equipped. We're going to see all this next week. The believer is well equipped. Well equipped. You're not deficient of anything in the preaching of the gospel. You're not deficient of anything. Hallelujah. I'm not deficient of anything. All you need to advance the gospel God has given to you. Hallelujah. 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 But the believer is well equipped. In Mark 16, said this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. You see that? Devils. Hallelujah. But well equipped. He also used the word kerusso to preach in Mark 16. Preach. Preaching. That word kerusso is used for how you make a loud announcement of a victory. Preach! And then we have to go into territories and proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Territories of darkness. Territories where death, where the devil is ruling. Territories where Satan has got them bound. Hallelujah. We have responsibility to go there and declare the victory of our God. And nothing shall by any means hurt. Nothing. So a believer who is abstract, a believer that doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I know who I am. I'm well equipped. I'm well equipped. I'm not deficient as a believer. Hallelujah. You are well equipped. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Ooh. Amen. you look, watch Paul also. Paul too was loud as regards the role of the believers in the earth. As armies, Paul was loud. Hallelujah. He was loud, very loud. In Ephesians 6, yes, I have three more scriptures to read to us. Ephesians 6. Hey there. Look at verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Now look at verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren. Meaning you have been saying a lot before now, but let's stick to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. It is put on. That is so, that is when you use the word put on, that is when you have the word endure. Hallelujah. So you can choose to put on fear. You can choose to put on defeat. That's what endure. You put it consciously. Hallelujah. It's a consciousness. Did you see that? You have to feed yourself. Say, put on the whole arm of God. Put on the whole arm of God. That ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, says he, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Hallelujah. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is not the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Hallelujah. So he tells us how to fight. The word. Prayer. Hallelujah. The word. Prayer. He also tells us who we are fighting. Not men. You are not fighting men. Remember one time like that. Little child. Used to attend lessons. We will cry. Money for. Where's for? So we don't know Mama Chiboy. We don't know. Amen. So, I did that lesson. So one day, my teacher, I got to Father 2 already. Father 2 Father 3. So I went to Father 2 Father 3. I was seeing you then 10 and you. So, no, that was Father 2. 10 and you is Father 2. One of those was a little thought. If there was better years after, so I knew those things, that I could do some of those things. So she now started fighting her neighbor downstairs, that I saw you in my dream. This was this. The one that came to press my neck in the night. And she said, my dream used to come to pass, and we were fighting. This age is a modernized age. The light of the gospel has shined. Those years, you see, grown-up fathers will be fighting, soldiers, fathers. Women will be fighting family to family warfare. But this day is no longer there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the word.
Glory to God.
So you always have that one child who is a stubborn child. You must always breed that one in your home. In the case fight comes, that's what I will stand for the family. Nonsense. Hallelujah. But who we are fighting is not men. He calls it principalities and powers. Did you see that? He says spiritual wickedness in the high places. Hallelujah. And when you talk about spiritual wickedness in the high places, it makes you see in chapter 2 that it will be in the heart of, the high places will be the heart of men. Did you see that? The man who believes not. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. The Spirit are now working the children of disobedience. So that means we are dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The heart of men. We're dealing with it. And we're not dealing with the men directly. We're dealing with the God of this world that has blinded your eyes. Okay, follow me. 2 Corinthians 10. Just want to quickly, we're going to dwell on this next week as we get going. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 4. It says, for the weapons, so okay, look at verse 3. It says, for we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh, at least we are in this world. Say we war not. Did you see that? We walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means we do not fight like the world. Hallelujah. We do not war after the flesh. No, say for the weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of this world. So they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Those weapons in God, they are mighty. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. You see that? I'm bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we use the word casting down imaginations. So it means we are fighting belief systems. Imaginations. Belief systems of the world. We are fighting belief systems of the world that have kept men together. Hallelujah. Okay, so we'll preach the word of God. We'll preach the word of God. There are some things I want to show to you. Amen. Amen. We'll preach the word of God is so that the hardened heart, the man who's under the hold of the devil, sees the light of God's word. Hope I say that. And it's comfortable. It's a battle. It's a battle. Because you know the darkness is supernatural. Hallelujah. We are not meeting the person like this. It's not, I'm not even clapping at all. No, that's what we say. No, that's not it. Hallelujah. That's not it. That's not it. It's actually supernatural. Hallelujah. So we're fighting the resistance of the world. Hallelujah. Who are following me? The world. In the task. So we are armies. Hallelujah. Did you see? We are of God. We are of God. We don't behave like the world. I'll close here. 2 Timothy. I told us 3. And this is the last. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 4. This is where I'll close. And we'll pick it up from here next week. It says, no man that worries. So are we in the war? 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 Are we in the war?
Are we in the war?
What God has set our focus on this year. If you watch from January to this, God has set our focus along this line. Hallelujah. You should be smart to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we are the ones who bring in that abundance of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let's see this. Oh glory. Is that it says no man that warreth. So are we in war? With human beings or with belief systems? With human beings or with supernatural beings? Answer me now. I've been teaching here for 1 hour 15 minutes. With human beings or with supernatural beings? With human beings or with belief systems? The belief system, is it in the air or in the heart of men? Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. Also, the belief system is in the air. We're going to see that too. And that is where you have to not do a job of guarding your heart. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with all that. Hallelujah. Some of these I'm teaching you has been dealt with contending for the faith. So a part of it has been. So those parts, that's why you, I have not released those teachings because I'm thinking I should release them together and then tell you how to listen to them. Watch, I didn't teach much about the sonship because I already have it there. You have to read. Don't go and read. Don't go and listen to it before the other two. You begin yourself now. Sleep. In the years to come, it must be contending, the mind basis you must be, and this. They complement themselves. Hope you're hearing me. Never forget that. They complement themselves. So if you are listening to this in the years to come, I've gotten to this session. You have to go back. I may say this too. Go back to contending for the way. The body better than the mandate. Then you can understand what I'm saying. I don't want to take you back to Sian. Amen. Amen. Don't remember. So no man that worth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. We'll begin to close in on this from next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, watch it. Before now, what we're reading is our responsibility to the world. Right? Right? Our responsibility to the world. Now, Paul is dealing with our conduct in the world. And very vital. He's dealing with our conduct. He says, no man who worries entangles himself with the affairs of this world. That he may please him who has chosen him. Please him who has chosen him. You see that? Show you that our loyalty is to God. Our stewardship is to God. What are you hearing me? Our loyalty, I showed us this last week, but I'm taking it again, is to God. And to God's settle. What has God settled? To God, his church, his men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our loyalty is not to the world. Our loyalty is not to the men and the things of the system of the world. Our loyalty is first to God. And then the men he has given to us. So your loyalty to God will be through the men also he has given to you. We saw that in Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Right? The loyalty should be to God. Through or in the men he has given to you. You learned something today? Have you learned something today? Okay, turn to someone and let's share what we learned.